Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Beit, Perek Chof Aleph. So we've concluded the story of Chizkiyahu, in which it appeared, at least to us, the readers, that Chizkiyahu had managed to completely change, put back everything to the way it was, gotten rid of all of the hashpah of his father Ahaz, seen to it that the Batei Midrashes were full, that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, that the Kayanim and the Levim were put back in their Mishmaras, that the Oivim around Yerushalayim were magically destroyed and created a shame b'chol olam kulay, to the extent that it says that Chizkiyahu actually took all of the ones who had been the conscripted soldiers from the various nations that Sennacherib had brought. He freed them, and after they saw the nace, they were all makabel, all malchus shamayim, went all over the world and were misaper these wonders. And it was an amazing time. And even though he had failed in those moments before, and there was such a fear of what was to come, so many approaches that he had taken to try to make the treaties with people that would save him, and there was not that complete acceptance of what needed to be. And nonetheless, in the end, he rallied, and that there was everything that was going for him personally, was going for Yisrael as a whole, the acceptance of Lamani, Laman Shem Hashem, and that even though we find that there was this unfortunate gaiva, as it's defined in the Divrei Hayomim, at the end we know that even that, he was mitakein. So even that last horrible business with the people from Bavel and Yeshayahu warning him that it's all going to disappear, even on that he did teshuva, because it says beferish in Divrei Hayomim, that Vayikana Chizkiyahu begova libo refers to his gava, and that in the end he was nichna. And it was all of Yerushalayim, by the way, because it says, "Hu v'yoshvei Yerushalayim." They all did teshuva. So they were holding over here at the end where he accepted it. It appeared to be just him, but the pasuk is made in Divrei Hayomim. Everybody realized that they had made a mistake. And yet, the next pasuk opens with the disaster of the reign of Menashe and begins with Ben 12 Shana Menashe b'Malcho. He was only 12 years old, which means that indeed he was only born during those last 15 years that had been added to Menashe, which shows us that when Chazal tell us that he hadn't been Osik Bepiri of Arivia, indeed he had no children. This child came only 3 years after the whole story with the illness of Chizkiyahu, and after his marriage together with the daughter of Yeshayahu, and he was the longest reigned of all of the kings. V'chamishim v'chamesh shana malach b'Yerushalayim. He was king for 55 years. V'shem imo cheftziba, which now is the remez cheftziba, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire for Yisrael. And yet, v'yas hara b'nei Adonai, he did evil. K'toavot ha'goyim asher horish Adonai b'nei b'nei Yisrael. He did exactly as the goyim from Canaan that had been sent out and were evacuated from Eretz Yisrael before Bnei Yisrael were able to settle it. That's how badly he regressed. So that Menashe's vision of what was to come, Chizkiyahu's vision of what was to come, and that Menashe would outdo even his father in Ra, so that it was Achaz and Menashe on either end of the Chizkiyahu who saw himself as a Mar, Li, Mar. On either side of him was embitteredness and was hopelessness. That indeed was reflected in those closing words that Chizkiyahu said to Yeshayahu, Tov devar Hashem asher divarta. I recognize that what you say is good, and that when Bavel comes, it's good that it will come. Halo im shalom v'emet yeh v'yamai, that all that I can do only for my own days. So that there was an acquiescence, there was an acceptance of helplessness. This acquiescence is maybe the trademark of Chizkiyahu. Because as Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, as it appears in so many places, that Lemarbe HaMisra, which was meant to be a vision of Mashiach, V'Shalom in Kates. This is Mamish Mashiach. The Marbe is written with a mem stuma in the middle of a word. And the Gemara asks, Bipnei ma mem zestuma. If I read a mem in the middle of a word, is ptucha. It's because Chizkiyahu had his mouth shut. And Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach. And Sancheirav was supposed to be Gog u'Magog. And indeed, what happened then is very, very much a gilui from Yemot HaMashiach. Hopeless situation. Person is machnia himself to accept that only the Shem Hashem counts. An unbelievable aman shemi, which is what we hope to be zochetu, latid lavov the gula atida. And it really ties in. And here's Chizkiyahu with his 8 shmona shemas, as the Gemara says. That's all based on that pasuk. Pele yaye, it's all of these incredible things that are meant to be miyamot HaMashiach. Sancheirav with his 8 shemot kenegdam, and the spheres of tuma, and the Klipos, the destruction of that Sancheriv. It's remarkable. And why not? Because of the Mem Setuma. Chizkio could not sing. And because he couldn't sing, so the Oretz broke out in song, please let me sing. And the Midas Adin was Makatri. And Tzedakah Kodesh Baruch Hu, somebody who after singing all of these Nisim can't sing, how can you make a Mashiach? How is there a Mashiach without singing? And that is part of the Shviras Ruach of Chizkio. Let's understand what it means. A person is in a matzav of Avelut. Mar li mar. Mar is the ultimate bitterness. In a state of Avelut, can he sing? He can't sing. To say the halacha is he's not supposed to sing. He can't sing. His whole psychology, his whole standing in the world is standing in the midst of the sense of his own devastation. There's another medrash, also occurs in a number of places, that compares three malachim. It goes through the way in which first the malchus was willing to act, was willing to do, and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu only to help. Until finally it's Yorei to Chizkio. Chizkio says, I don't have koyach to do anything. I want to sleep in my bed, and you destroy Sancheriv, because there's nothing I can do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani Aseh, fine, I'll do it. You do nothing. That itself, that indication of helplessness and hopelessness, the whole feeling about himself, Keneged Shevna, that he wasn't even the one that was recognized in the city, in his own malchus, a man who couldn't act like a malach, in which is the Gemara tells us they used to make fun of him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what you like. You're like a king who can eat arboim, sarv geizlois, that to you is chashivas. And here's a man who only eats a few vegetables. And that's not chashiv to you, because he doesn't think highly of himself. But the fact is, that was the mitzias of Chizkio. This is the way the Maharal explains the lack of singing. The lack of singing is not that he didn't want to sing. It's not that he couldn't be mechaber songs. It's that he's in a state of being unable to sing. So that the nature, the way the Maharal puts it, is the nature of Mashiach is not potential. It's final actualization. The essence of Chizkio is that he's not an actualizer. He makes potential possible, but he's not an actualizer. And in not being an actualizer, he comes from a state of seeing the pain of potential unrealized. Because of that, he can't sing. Which is why Midas HaDin is saying, we can't live on the potential. We can only live on what was achieved. He can't take it out. He can't make it happen. And the essence of Mashiach is that the world is in a state of shleimut, not potential shleimut. And therefore, comes along the Aretz, which is the remes to the Shechina, the Midas HaMalchus, the presence of all that will develop, the continuing development, which is itself the nature of the Yishalchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. He says, I'll sing. Let that be the singing. Let the development itself be the singing. Wasn't Mekubal as the essence of the Yimei HaMashiach. And so the truth is that the hallmark of Chizkio is Hachna. The hallmark of Chizkio is this constant recognition of he's not good enough. Nothing that he does is ever good enough. At his highest moments, he's not good enough. He keeps falling into the trap of trying to be what he isn't, and it destroying him. I don't want to act as a king. And when I act as a king, I become now somehow aware of myself in the kingdom. And we spoke about Malachim as being the deconstruction of the Malchus. This final deconstruction here, these last stages of the Malchus Yehuda, the impact of what happened in terms of the identity of the Melech, in which all that's left for the Melech is pure Hodah. You'll say that's the essence of Yehuda. That's what he's all about. There's nothing I can do anymore except be Moda. I don't know what I'm doing. But that needed to be coupled, as it was coupled in David HaMelech himself, with the tremendous sense of the identity that was derived from being a Melech, with the power of the Malchus, with the ability to do anything that Yisrael can do. And to him, it was either complete Hachna, or he felt himself personally being looked up to as Melech. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's exactly. It's when everybody started coming to him and sending him gifts and calling him the great defender of the faith, the destroyer of Sancheriv, the foil of Ashur, the great and glorious Chizkio. It was either that or nothing.
Also, isn't Shir itself an expression of potential? Shir is poetry.
Shira is potential, but Shir is finalization. The Gemara says, one is masculine, one is feminine. The feminine is continuously developing and growing and producing. The masculine is meant to have a vision. And that's why, as the Gemara put it, that all Shira being feminine is Shiyesh Acharea Tzora. There's always going to be new problems that need to be dealt with. So there were still problems. So there was no Mashiach. And basically we're going to end up discovering that even Menashe, although it doesn't appear here in Melachim, because it's no longer relevant to the story of the deconstruction of the Malchus, even Menashe does teshuva and becomes a model for an absurd teshuva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forced, so to speak, to accept teshuva. Because otherwise the lack of accepting teshuva is a chilul Hashem. To use teshuva against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Menashe ends up doing. So that he understood now, Hizkiyahu, that what was coming would be the worst disaster ever. Vayarshav, and he went right back to Achaz. Vayiven adam bamot asher ibad Hizkiyahu aviv. The very bamot that Hizkiyahu had worked so hard to destroy, he rebuilt. Vayokem mizbechot lebaal. Vayas asherak asher asa achav melech Yisrael. Vayishtachavu, vayishtachu lechol tzeva hashamayim. Vayavodotam. As a matter of fact, this, as we saw earlier, this is part of the Vayar Hashem ki snu'a le'a. The snu'a le'a was the vision that there would be these Rishayim that would be coming from Le'a. And even at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went along with the snu'a. Yaakov Avinu was margish the snu'a. Something stinks. I don't like her because there's this feeling. That doesn't mean that it's there in the Sheirish Gufa, from where Yehuda came from. And we find, the Gemara says that Menashe was worse than Achaz. Achaz took the pestle and he put it in the aliyah of the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe says he took it and he put it inside the Heichal. So that, it says it pestle asher 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 babayit, is the Lashon later. Put it inside the bayit itself. So that what was mar before is doubly mar now. Uvana mizbechot bevet Adonai, asher amar Adonai b'Yerushalayim asim et shemi. He took that bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to put his shame, and note, the stress on shame, because this is what we have reached. We've reached the point in which the hashras, not hashrina, but the shame Hashem, leman shmi, lemani, leman, the only thing that counts now, not your zkuyot, not the zkut oves, not the zkus of bris, just the mokom of shmi. When it was to go and to destroy that shame that he went. Vayiven mizbechot l'chol tzeva ha-shamayim, b'shtech hatzrot beit Adonai. He went to destroy that very mokom of the hashras Hashem. And this he did directly. He took those mizbechot and he put them even worse than had been done before into the actual mokom where the shame was supposed to be. And that he put in the Ezra's Kehanim, in the Ezer's Yisrael, so that wherever one would go, one would see that it's not the Shema Hashem that is here, but rather it's Gufa, the Shema of Avedis Kechavim. The Gemara is Marchik Lechet in these last Malachim, in which they literally wrote the Shema Hashem on their penis, just to use the Shema Hashem as something dirty, which it would be entirely their own utilization, the opposite of the Chashivus of Brit Mila. And so what he did was the worst that had ever been done. Vayiven nizbechot, vehevir et beno be'esh, va'onein, v'nichesh, v'yasa'ov v'yedoni, hirba la'asot ha'rabi, ne Adonai, la'achis. And what he did la'achis. As the Gemara says, that this he slept with a sister, and the next generation slept with their mother. Klum yesh la'ana'a, mimakom rasher yatzatim. I mean, this is not even pleasureful. Klum ani ose ela la'achis et bor'i. I'm only doing it to be machis, that's all. So the idea over here was perhaps initially, I mean, it seems that it's a continuation of Maisim of Achaz. And it's the weakness in which, remember, the choice was live as a nation that is disassociated, that relies entirely on the Dvar Hashem, on the Shem Hashem, or live as a vassal state in which you do what Asherah wants you to do, in which you try to find favor in their eyes. And this is what happens. He becomes the ultimate TLer. Favor seeker, machanif to Ashur, following all of the avedas of the worst of the goyim. Vayosim et pesel ha'shira asher asa b'bayit asher amar Adonai al David v'al Shlomo b'no b'bayit ha'zeh v'Yerushalayim asher bachartei v'kol shivtei Yisrael asim et shemi la'olam. Again, it's all about the Shem Hashem. We see this so clearly in these past prokim. This is the house where my shame will be broadcast from, will be noticeable in the world, where my presence will make a difference. It was there in that very house that he put the Pesel HaSherah, and that it became now no place for the shame. V'lo Osif, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, Lo Osif La'anid Regel Yisro Min Adama, Asher Natati La'avotam. I will not ever, he tells David v'Shlomo, I will never send them out, if only, Rak, In Yishmur La'asot K'chol Asher Tzivitim, if only they will do what I asked. V'l'chol HaTorah Asher Tzivah Otam Avdim Moshe, and follow the Teres Hashem that Moshe explained. V'lo Shameh, but they refused to listen. Vayat Eim Menashe, and it was Menashe who was that final straw who pushed them off of the road. La'asot HaTorah Min HaGoyim Asher Yishmir Adonai Mi'pnei B'nei Yisrael, be worse than the Goyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed before they came in. V'ayadaber Adonai B'yad HaVadav HaNevi'im L'mor. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them. He spoke to the words of Nahum, to the words of Habakkuk, to tell them, Yan asher asam en Hashem melech Yudah to'evot ha'ele, Heira mikol asher asuei amori asher lefanav. He's done the worst things, worse than the going before him. Vayachati, gam et Yehuda begilolav, and brought down Yehuda in addition, just as Yisrael had been, he brought Yehuda down with his gilolim, v'chein ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, Inani mevi ra'al Yerushalayim Yehuda, asher kol shoma'at itzal nashte oznav. The words that were used for the destruction of Shiloh, the Rebbe will hear what happens, his ears will ring. This is what's going to happen to Yerushalayim. V'natiti ha'Yerushalayim et kav shamron v'et mishkolet beit acham. The same kav, that same plumb line that I dropped over Shamron that indicated its destruction. And the weight that holds it down is the weight beit achav. U'machiti et Yerushalayim, I will wipe out Yerushalayim, gashim chet atzalachat, the way that somebody wipes the last bits of nourishment off of a plate, machava facha paneha, to wipe it out, throw it down, upside down, to indicate that there's nothing left. U'natashti et sherit nachalati, I will forget about, leave alone whatever is left of my nachala, what's left of Yehuda, u'netatim biyad oyveihem, v'yulavaz u'nemshisa. Giving them over into the hands of their enemies to be a joke and to be victimized to all of their enemies. Yana Sharaswat Arab inai, because they did this evil. And they've been making me angry. It's been this way from the beginning. It was this way when they went out of Mitzrayim. It was this way with Pesel Micha. That was mixed with Shiloh. There's nothing new. There's a limit to how much I can take. I can cover it up. I can pretend. But once it comes out, I can't stop it. I forget about what he did to me. The damnaki that he spilled, Arbe Ma'od, he murdered Yishayahu Anavi. Adashimilei Yerushalayim, Pelapeh, filling up one end of the city to the other with the blood of those who were against what he was doing, to the point where nobody dared stand up against him, even a Navi. Levad Michatato Asher Echati Et Yudah, Lazot HaRabi Nei Adonai. That much maybe he did teshuva on, as we're going to see when we talk about Divrei HaYomi. But the Ben Adam, the Chavero, that there was no way for him to be metaken. The people that he murdered, and yet this was a very, very complex man. It sounds, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. It sounds from the psukim that there's nothing valuable about him. And yet, amazingly, the Gemara Sanhedrin says that those 55 years that he was molech, each one of them produced a completely new version of Torat Kohanim. But his godless entire was such that every single year of his malchus, he had a completely different Torat Kohanim with consistent drushes from beginning to end in Sefer Vayikra. This is, I mean, this is absolutely crazy. This is the guy that is Miles Yerushalayim Pelapeh. Well, he calls in Yishayahu and he's dying. He says, I don't understand. First of all, I mean, you're going around and you're saying things which simply cannot be true. They cannot be true because you're mezalzel on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. He says, Mispar Yamecha Amalei, and you go around saying, no, we can add, we'll add 15 years. You can't add 15 years. It's supposed to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You say, Ver'es Hashem, to talk about the vision of the Merkava, Moshe Rabbeinu said, anybody, Lirani Adam Vachai, you're a liar. You're a Navi Sheker. And he's done him as a Navi Sheker. He kills him as a Navi Sheker. The rest of Yishayahu says, I know, I mean, obviously, I can be mazbe all these things. I know if I try to be mazbe, they're going to listen to anything that I say. So he says, Hashem, Nivla Va'arza, he has the tree cut down, saws the tree until he kills the Navi who is hidden inside of the tree. Destroys Yishayahu. But it's all based on his being fuller than thou. This is an amazing guy. This is the one where Abaya made the mistake of saying, you know, okay, tomorrow we'll start learning the sugya of our friends, you know, the Malachim She'elem Chelek Olam Abba. Menashe appears to him in the middle of the night in a dream. Friend, I'm your friend. What do you don't know anything. You're like the youngest of my Talmidim. I'm your friend. It's a makasha about where you're supposed to cut the lechem when you make hamotzi. Doesn't know. Chutzpah, you call me a friend. He says, okay, fine. So tell me, and I'll darsh it in your name tomorrow. He tells him. The next day, he opens up with our rabbi. And he says, yes, and how, if you're such a Talmud Chacham, how were you ever in Avodah Zarah like this? Famous Gemara. You would have been in my days. What do you know about Avodah Zarah? You would have been in my days. You would have lifted up your little skirt to run after Avodah Zarah. You're complaining to me about Avodah Zarah. Okay, these are all insights about things that are far more intense than we're aware of. We should discuss tomorrow. And so what Chizkiyahu himself had originally been marked there as bitterness, the mar li mar, which the Medrash sees as the relationship of Achaz and Menashe, means that apparently there's a relationship between the tkufa of Achaz and the tkufa of Menashe. Because otherwise, why are we calling them both the bitter times, the mar li mar? Before me is bitter, after me is bitter. And indeed, the way that the Navi sees it, the way the Medrash brings it out, is that what was done in the middle by Chizkiyahu was as if it was batel mevatel. Because what happens is that the very same things that Achaz had put on the Aliyah, so Menashe brings down now to the ground, to the binyan. And what he puts there, now his son Amon takes the next step and does it even worse. But that means that the resignation that we sensed in Chizkiyahu's voice, when he said, well, at least during my lifetime, things will be okay, was really resignation. It was a sense of, I understand that I've not been able to be pale in any way that would affect the period outside of my time. It's perfect for our time also, because Menashe was Maimid, according to, there's a whole question whether Menashe is what we're referring to when we have the one Girsa is about Tisha B'Av, is the Huamad, not He'emid, for Tapostomas, but Huamad Selam Behechal. Huamad Selam Behechal is a reference to the Selam Behechal of Menashe. Actually, the way the Yerushalmi sees it. If it's the Girsa's Apostomos, then it's He'emid. But there are those who say that that's part of the Tisha B'Av experience is the memory of Menashe himself. The most important, one would have thought, elements of the story of Menashe himself doesn't even appear here at all in Melachim. It appears only in Divrei Hayomim. In Divrei Hayomim in Perek, in Divrei Hayomim Beit, in Perek Lamed Gimel. In Divrei Hayomim, it brings an entire story, which according to the Gemara is 33 years. 33 years of his 55-year reign. According to the Gemara, Menashe was Eisek B'tshuva. And that's what he was doing. He was a person who was Maimid Tshuva, to the extent that according to one man, the Omar in Sanhedrin, anybody who says that Menashe doesn't have a chelek in Elam Haba is being merapa yedeyem of Balei Tshuva, and it's an extremely destructive thing, because if someone like him, doing such tshuva, wasn't able to be metaken himself, to be zeicha, at least Elam Haba, himself, even if he couldn't be metaken the door, so what are other people going to say? This is a whole machlokas, as to whether Menashe, yesh lo chelek Elam Haba, or not. According to the Mishnah, Menashe is one of those who are primary in Elam Chelek Elam Haba. The whole story of his tshuva does not appear in Malachim at all, which is remarkable. Here in Divrei Hayomim, it talks about the fact that he was captured by the Melech of Ashur and dragged to him in when he was in Babel at the time, which ties into, of course, the closing events in Chizkiyahu's reign. So, because there he's told that his children are going to be brought to Melech Bavel. The earliest stage of that, before the Pashtas that it's referring to, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, that, you know, all of these, the children of Yehuda, the Zerah Malucha, that even his own child was actually brought to Bavel, except that Bavel at the time was not an independent country. He was brought to Melech Ashur, who at the time was involved in the Milchomais with Bavel. And there, they were going to cook him alive. That's how bad off he was. So when he saw that things were terrible, so it says that he called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at that point, Katzelo Chilat Pnei Hashem Elokav, when things got really bad, and he was dragged now in irons, as it says, to Bavel, Vayikana ma'od milifnei Elohei Avotav. He became extremely submissive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would be a word for Vayikana in English? To lower himself, to...
Humbled himself.
Okay, yeah, they say humbled himself. And the Lashon now, at the end, is he davens to Hashem. Vayeater lo, and the Gemara is Badaik, Vayeater, similar to Vayechater, meaning that the Malachi Asharis attempted to prevent the Shekhinah from accepting the tshuva of a man like this. They said, how in the world could you accept this guy? And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chayter through Bitachat Kisei HaKovay to avoid Midas Adin, was Mekabel and Betshuva, and it says, Vayeshiveu Yerushalayim L'malchuto, brought him back to his Malchut, Vayeda Minashe Ki Adonai Hu Elohim. Unbelievable. Those are the words we close Yom HaKippurim, Hashem Hu Elohim, going all the way back to Eliyahu HaNavi.
And clearly that's Hashem and not the Avodah Zarah.
It's only Hashem who is the Elohim, no room left for anything else. And he comes back, Vayosar at Elohim Echar. He gets rid of the Elohim Echar, he gets rid of the Semel B'Beit Hashem. He destroys all of the Mizbechot that he built in Yerushalayim. He throws it outside of the city in pieces. And then he's Vayichen or Vayiven, Mizbech Hashem. He brings Zvachim, Shlomim, Teda. He goes around demanding a Yehuda La'avod et Hashem Elokei Yisrael. The only thing that was still wrong was that people were bringing on the Bamais, but only to Hashem. Rak L'Hashem Elokeinu. Barnea is pointing out that there was a wall. No, that's important. The Chomachi Tzonah L'Ir David, what was found. I think that they found this wall. It says there that he built a wall to the west of the Gihon, in the Nachal. This is a remarkable thing. Vayibbe'a Ma'od, and he strengthened the Ophel. So he did great things. These great things, by the way, have an archaeological basis in the words of Melech Ashur, who describes the joining of Menashe afterwards in his own war efforts against various provinces that had attempted to rebel against him. So he apparently had been cheshed that Menashe was among them. And then the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered him from Melech Ashur was that instead he was seen to be loyal, and Adarabah became an important member of the staff of those who would act in the benefit of Ashur. So what was originally an attempt to find curry favor in the eyes of Ashur by taking on the Minhagim of Ashur and the Avodah Zarah of Ashur became, on the contrary, ironically, only at the time in which he was Makabal at Hashem Hu Elokim, and there was no room for this type of currying favor, did he actually find favor. And that allowed him to be the longest reigning of any king, both in Yehuda and Yisrael, 55 years. So again, the question is, was this a serious tshuva? There's a terrible, terrible story in the Yerushalmi that makes this tshuva absolutely horrific, where it says over there that what he really did was, he was said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, you know, I'm going to try all my Avodah Zarahs. And lo yiniach Avodah Zarah shebolam shelo yizkira. And when he saw there was no Avodah Zarah that helped him, so he said, oh, I remember my father used to read the Pasuk in the Beit HaKnesset, Bitzar lecha u'mitza'ucha kol ha'dvarim ha'ela b'achrit ha'yamin. When things get very, very bad, so here clearly the Gemara is being medayik, the word Bitzar lecha, because it says in the Pasuk, Divrei Hayomim, ki hatzer lo. So when it became very tight, tight means you have no more options. There's no place else to turn. So then, at that moment, you can turn v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, v'shamata b'kolo, ke'el rachum Hashem Elokecha, lo yarpecha, lo yashchitecha, lo yishkach et brit avotecha shenishba lahem. No, I'm going to give this a try. If it works, so then I'll see it's true. If not, yeah, all of these crappy religions are the same thing. Im lav, kol ap yashavim. Any face that you put on the Lord, they're all the same, useless. Don't stand for a person when he needs them. So again, the pashtus of the Yerushalmi is that this is all right, we're going to put you to the test. You claim that you're really God. Let's see. And the Malachi Asharis go wild. They're mistatmin met achalonot, shelot ala tefilato. There should be no place for this tefillah to come lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachi Asher is tell HaKadosh Rebbeinu Shalom. Adam Shavad Avid Azor, Hem Yitzelem Ba'echal, Atam Akadlo B'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if not, I'm going to be nailed delit, b'fnei ko b'alei tshuva. And therefore, v'yeter lo, v'yishmat chinato v'yishiveo. And this, of course, is the machlokas in the Bavli as well. As to the diak, it says, v'yishiveo Yerushalayim l'malchuto. Does that mean l'malchuto v'lo l'olam haba? Or does it mean l'malchuto and then even olam haba? And the Gemara Ben Shmuel Babunet says, you know, Menashe realized, eat din v'eat dayan. But clearly, there was a din against what I did. There's a dayan that responds. But the way that the Yerushalmi is presenting this is that it's a special hanhaga v'kadosh baruch hu which comes b'tzar lecha. In other words, Menashe wasn't putting to the test, he understood the absurdity of going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under these circumstances, right? We're talking about a man, if you recall, we mentioned yesterday, 55 years of Malchus was 55 different approaches, according to the word Sanhedrin, to all of Teres Kehani. Every year he had a completely new approach to Teres Kehani. We're talking about a massive Talmud Chacham. Yagadol b'Teres Ein Kamayu. And this person has to remember Zachrani that my father read to me. It's almost as if one Gemara is the exact opposite of the other Gemara. He's a complete Tinek Shadish, but on the contrary, as the Gemara points out elsewhere in the Bavli, you think that Chizkiyahu HaMelech taught all of Klal Yisrael, but never taught his son. That's ridiculous. Elamai, all of the Torah that he taught him and all of the Musa he gave him, nothing ever helped. There's nothing you can do for your kids. The only thing that helped them was Yisurin. See how great Yisurin are. That points to this Nakuda, the Tsar Lecha. What he was remembering was something that indeed had left an immense ration on it, which is there is a way out. The way out is a tunnel. It's a Chatira. And this the Rambam speaks out in Yochas Tshuva. And nobody knows where he gets it from. Sounds like he made it up. Tshuva is Ketris B'fnei HaPuramit. Even if you're just responding, as Paro would have responded. Just Paro could have done tshuva. If Paro would have done tshuva, then there would have been nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have been done to be done. And what do we do about Piraon, which is Paro? Therefore, there comes a time in which the Minas Adin is Bechaya to be Monea Teshuva. So that means Teshuva has in it a mechanistic element, from our point of view, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying should not be seen as mechanistic, but should be seen that there's an underlying guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, when things get hopeless, you think I don't understand that you're only turning to me because it's hopeless? I'm telling you that when things get hopeless, and you total idiot that it took you until now to be smart enough to turn to me and to say, okay, I accept the fact that I was wrong. Of course, I could keep squeezing you until you'll say I'm wrong. And you know what? That's part of the bris that I'm making with your father. It's Tsar Lecha. You should know that there comes a point of lo yarpacha v'lo yashchitecha. Even though any normal human being would have looked at that and said, I'm a sugar. To listen to a man who speaks to me like this, and now he's turning to me. This is the anhaga lo yishkachet brit avotecha. And he said, if there is such an anhaga, and it's beyond any anhaga of any avodah zarah, it's beyond human interrelationships. It's no longer something that a person can make up as a religion. It means that there's an inyan of chatira that he was looking for. It's not just that the Gemara is saying, the Malachi Asheris were going crazy, and nonetheless the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, well, what am I going to do? That's the whole point, that Menashe was coming to be Megala. Zochreini. I remember, and I never took it seriously because it seemed so outrageous. I mean, my reaction was as a child when I heard this. How could it be that B'tzar Lecha, if you have nowhere else to turn, you'll turn to me, I'll also take you. If that isn't true, so then all religions are the same. Because everybody can make up religions that are based on human relationships. And they're just projections of what it is we'd like God to be. But what I cannot conceive of in myself, I cannot read into God either. I'm not such an idiot to create a God who would accept an idiot like me at this point. That means that this is the ultimate test. If it's a reality, it's a reality that staggers the imagination. That's what Yerushalmi is bringing out, which is a pelagomor. Because it comes out that Menashe is the man who was Megala Tshuva to the Eilam on this Adrega. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to be mekabel this. This is the first person in history who openly acknowledges that there's such a new hanaga, and that it's the giloy of what it means to be able to be mekabel as a complete mibachutz, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is el chai v'kayam, not what you imagine, and does the most insane things from your point of view. This is the first time in history such a thing has happened. I'm not going to be mekabel this. And I'm going to be seisim this door that I said ultimately is the solution to the Golas. Where you'd say, I mean, if it gets to such an extent, how is anybody ever going to respond? That's what the Gemara says. We'll keep turning the screws. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid ha'melech kashuk ha'aman. Keep turning the screws, and eventually they'll... So what good is that? This is Benash, who's going to be Magal of the Goz. What? Yes, yeah, oh, excellent, beautiful, beautiful. Rabbanaya adds that Betzalacha is part of our Tisha B'Av experience. So it works out beautifully. If we learn the Lomat Selam Be'echal is a reference to Menashe, then that means that the Kriya on Tisha B'Av is to access this Darg of Tshuva, which is Menashe. This is an astonishing issue. Then the question is, I mean, if it's so fundamental.
There's even another aspect that he's physically in Golos here. So behold, Sarasim, Lot, Sarai, yeah.
Excellent. No, it's, you're saying the wrong pasuk. It's that Misham is what it says.
Right.
It has to be from Golas. That could be. But in any event, so how is it that Malachim should leave out this fundamental story that redefines the Rov of his Malchus? 33 years, of course, but from the pasuk of Esrim Vishtayim leaves 33. How do we explain it? How could it be? It's not sufficient to say that because it wasn't a tshuva that is kolul in the way that we would appreciate a tshuva, it wasn't a tshuva gemura. And furthermore, it clearly, even though he got rid of everything, it clearly didn't achieve anything. Because the moment, as we're about to see, that his child Amon becomes melech, he reinstitutes everything from the time of Achaz. So he brings back the Gag of Achaz, the Asher of Achaz, all through. Which is the ultimate proof of the Mar Li Mar of Chizkiyahu, that I see my own presence as having been a blip in the middle of an ongoing Yerida. So one thing is for sure, that the point in the Melachim is bringing out that ongoing Yerida, and not the question. In other words, the Mar Li Mar, that period, Ochaz, Chizkiyahu, Menashe, and Amon, has to be seen in Melachim as part of the same problem in Malchus. And this particular aspect of Teshuva is not part of the Malchus, which is remarkable, because Lamaisa, it's David HaMelech himself who said that I came in order to be the one who is Megadol the issue of Teshuva in the island. Correct? That's why he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did I fail with Bathsheba? Because you wanted to prove something. Okay? So we understand that Nu'uma Geva Hukam Al Shuhikim Olasha Teshuva. The fact that I could go through what I went through, and that I was making, the nature of teshuva is remarkable. So if that's the case, wouldn't you think that the final result of Malchus Yehuda would be this final Hekim Ula Shal Teshuva? If anywhere it belongs to Malachim, and not in Divrei Hayom. Behechrech, you have to say that the nature of this teshuva is not kosher to Yehuda. It's not kosher to Yehuda. It does not come from the power of a person of looking at himself and acknowledging his faults. It comes from Behit Sarla, which could have been done to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, who was also making Ula Shel Teshuva when he went to Nineveh. But it doesn't prove a darn thing. It doesn't show a responsiveness. That isn't the point. And therefore, it really is not part of the Gilui of the Malchus, and it doesn't belong in Sefer Malachim. But Adarabba, what belongs in Sefer Malachim is only the collapse of the ability of a person to be a melech. What happens to him here is entirely personal. And despite the fact that he attempts afterwards to utilize his own personal rebirth, so to speak, now he's a born-again Jew. I use the word advisedly. So that now he's going to go around now being mitaken as a born-again Jew to create a tshuva movement is completely meaningless. It's a personal attempt at utilizing the power that he happens to have with the Malchus, and therefore it doesn't achieve anything.
A bully pulpit,
exactly. And in the end, as a melech, he does not change Yisrael. this is something that even in the fantastic flourishing in the next parak of Yoshiyahu, which truly is a massive new gilui of real teshuva, which is still the problem. The melech is no longer the acting dor. There's barrier. And that's his Yoshio's problem, as we'll see. He thinks he's the door, and he isn't. Over here, Menashe doesn't even make the mistake of thinking he's the door. And Memela, it doesn't fall into Malachim. So we have over here a very complex personality. A Talmud Chacham Otzon, who in his discussion with Amoroyim, they have to give up and call him Ravusa. This is the Rebbe. This is no longer the Talmud. Or Chavera. These are great men. You have to acknowledge a great man. Great men that run after Avodah Zarah. Why do they run after Avodah Zarah? Basically for the same reason that Menashe would have said back to you, which is, what's your poison? You're making fun of me as if you have no poisons. And if we turn Rabbi Akiva into a two-bit nobody, as the Sutton puts it, by allowing him to see a pretty girl and chasing her up a tree, this you don't make fun of. But you make fun of me for being a bit of a desire. What do you think is more gas? What do you think is lower class? Chasing a girl or chasing a god? Chasing a girl I wouldn't do. Chasing a god is because you have no imagination. Therefore, you can't chase a god. You no longer have that yetzer. You no longer can even invest love in gods. So to you, love is in flesh. To me, that's too cheap to even turn me on. So you're coming now to judge me. So you have a cheaper poison. What a fool you are. What an unknowing fool you are to call me your friend. This is exactly what he's saying. And it's a pella that it was just yesterday that Microsoft, they showed, they're not ready to release it, but they showed an interface in which they have a virtual responding boy to you and learns this person now can actually express your feelings, respond to your feelings, get to know you, and it's a beautiful, beautiful video that they have of the interaction. The interaction becomes an interaction in which basically you create really the type of character you want to relate to. The danger of such a thing is astonishing, because this is the one step away from true Avodah Zarah, in which you now, the only difference is that now you can have a friend that you love instead of a god that you love. But imagine being able to have sufficient imagination to be able to turn your friend into God with all of the love and interface that Avodah Zarah once had, that gods used to have, connection that they used to have. Of course, there's the story of the Agalot Yishakon. They would get the eagle to actually kiss the people that had a lot of money, that they wanted, the church wanted to inherit their money, and they would have the eagle recognize these people, or sniff something in the pocket, just come over and kiss the person. And the priest would say, no, take a look, the eagle loves you, surely you want to give everything to the eagle, including your life. This is recreating those kind of feelings. We don't have the imagination, so we need Microsoft. Menashe had the imagination, and that's true for what he was saying. If you would have been living in my time, you would have had that imagination, would have had that yetzer. The same way we understand sexual fantasizing, which is absolutely ridiculous, which a person will pretend that such and such a zayna has something that can satisfy a relationship with him, which is stupid. And the moment that he sees it, mi bachutz, he laughs at him. But what was I thinking? Exactly the same type of fantasizing was the relationship to Avodah Zarah in my time. So if you don't laugh at your poison, don't laugh at mine. Continues on now the Navi with the story after the burial of Menashe and what many identify with Har Tzion, the Gan HaMelech. We start now with the birth of Menashe. Ben Esrim V'Shtayim Shana Amon of Amon, I'm sorry. Ben Esrim V'Shtayim Shana Amon B'Molcho. Amon, the son of Menashe, was 22 years old. U'Shtayim Shani Malach B'Yerushalayim, and was king for only 2 years. V'Shem Imo Mishulemet. Very interesting name, very much like the name Mishulam. Mishulam is a name that we're well aware of. The name Mishulam actually shows up in various old signatures that have been found. But Mishulemet is unusual. So Mishulemet Bat Harut, also a strange name. Someone who is very active, very efficient. Min Yatva. Yatva is probably the Yodifat. which is part of Yisrael, not part of Yehuda, which again brings out the fact that there was, of course, even after the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim, many, many communities that were still living in Eretz Yisrael, in the area of what was once Yisrael. And as we saw in the days of Chizkiah, he had sent around people, trying to be Makarev, the people that were living there, to come to Yerushalayim. Later on we're going to see that there was the Navi was Magzer, some of the Aseres HaShvatim was Mamlich Yehuda over them. But in any event, his mother didn't do him much good. Here it's Medayik. He did the Ra like Menashe did, and not the Tov that Menashe did. He never did the Shuva like his father. He only did the Ra like his father. Again, we don't see that it was difficult for him to reinstitute these things. It's as if everybody was just waiting for the moment to come. He left. Now here there's a remez. Because what did he have to leave for? It was never there. Here there is a remez. The fact that his father had indeed reinstituted the Derech Hashem. But he left it. Apparently, there was enough of a responsiveness among the Bnei Yehuda that they couldn't take this. And his avodim were koshernim, vayamito tamelech bebeto. They killed him in his own castle. Nonetheless, the response of the Am Haaretz, we've seen before, Am Haaretz in this context means the leaders of the land. It doesn't say, but the fact that it puts the two together is mashma that he was killed because of the way in which he turned the clock back. In other words, he was ozev, because he was ozev. And vayas hara, I mean, the Gemara says he went far beyond what it was even that his father had done. He was mosif to do evil. That because of that, it says he was mater even. His father had been mater, Ochaz was mater erava. Menashe was baal achoto. Amon was baal imo. The Gemara says, and when his mother asked him, what kind of pleasure do you have sleeping with your own mother? He says, I don't do this for pleasure. I do this to make a point. Kluman yosad lahachis. Said this was a lahachis. So the chatoim that were not benogei avodah zarah, the murders of Menashe, we never find that he addressed the murders. The arayas of these later kings, we don't find that they were addressed. And because of that, vayamitu, vayach amaretz et kol hakoshrim al hamelech Amon, apparently there was such a loyalty to Malchus Yehuda that there was a fear that others would attempt, as they had in Yisrael, to take over the Malchus after the murder of the king. And so they killed all of the plotters against Amon, and they inserted Vayamlichu Amaretz et Yoshio v'no tachtav. They made his son Yoshio, who was a child, he was only 8 years old at the time, they made Yoshio king. V'yeter divrei Amon asher asah, and the other horrible things that he did, that he was mosif ashma. Halohem ketuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yehuda, vayikboroto bikvorato began uza. So apparently, normally it's put together, the death with the kvura. Over here, the putting of v'yeter, some suggest, means that they weren't ready to bury him right away in Gan Uza. In other words, it required this reassertion of the Malchus Yehuda and the Hamloch of Yoshio before they buried him in Gan Uza. So they didn't necessarily want to be mechabed him as a melech. Because normally the v'yeter is not put between the death and the kvura. V'yeter divrei ploni doesn't occur between his death and the burial. This is the only place where it's put this way. So it seems to say that there was a hesitation about where to bury him.
It's really finished with him just as dead.
Exactly. And here they bury him afterwards. So it could be that it was the reassertion of Malchei Yehuda, particularly, and of the insistence, Vayamlichu Yoshio b'no tachtav, that is what allowed us to bury him b'gan Uza, because that's what his father had chosen as the mokum of where he wanted to be covered.
And then, the Gedolim pointed out that there's a kibbeh based on groaning is a separate place than David compared to Mosad. This is a break.
Correct. That's what I say. It could be that the quorum that everybody goes to in Har Tzion is Menashe. Is Menashe and Amon. And not David HaMelech, which is most likely. Certainly.
The upper city rather than the lower city.
Right. It says Chutzalair. Chutzalair is was something that was Badafka outside of the original area. Excellent. Eretz Be'uza was in that area, in what we call today Har Tzion. You'll notice that in Divrei Hayomim, it's very interesting. It says, "V'yeter Divrei Menashe u'Tfilato hinam al Divrei Malchei Yisrael." It mentions that it's included in the history of Malchei Yisrael, not particularly with Malchei Yehuda, which it stresses here. In both Menashe and Amon.
And says, okay,
yeah, in other words, there's a broader sense of where he belongs. But his tshuva, specifically, is not mentioned with Malchei Yehuda, which is a remarkable, remarkable statement. And it goes out of the dimension, Tvilato.
But Brew based so that's very personal and not very with the Malachi.
Excellent. They buried him in a personal way, and not as part of the Malchus. So again, Yeter Divrei Menashe Utfilato El Elohav, and the words of the Nevi'im Hamedabrim Elav, B'Shem Hashem Elokei Avotav, Hinam Al Divrei Malchei Yisrael, specifically. Not included in Sefer Malachim with Malchei Yehuda.
And in Divrei Yomim, it doesn't even talk about the burial of Amon.
The burial?
Right, there is no burial.
Just they killed him, right?
In Divrei Yomim.
Excellent. Very good. So it really, really ties in this difference in the entire stress in the two svarim. Vayikbor oto bekvurato began Uza, and so they buried him in the kvur that he apparently himself had set aside to be his mokum kvura, to be close to his father. Vayimloch Yoshiov no tachtav, and Yoshio his son became king, even though it says vayamlichu at Yoshio. Apparently, he wasn't melech until after the burial of his father. Now, I mentioned yesterday this incredible virtual interface that Microsoft is doing and how it's so nogea the concept of Avodah Zarah. If you recognize the human tendency to invest and then to take that investment as being real, take a look at the Tamaguchis, right? It's not funny. The people needed psychiatric care for a couple of lines on a screen that they had forgotten to feed, so to speak, by a very simple program that they had to stop marketing the thing because kids were being devastated because they'd forgotten to feed their Tamaguchi. Kids were becoming suicidal because they invested so much in a couple of lines on the screen. Exactly. So imagine the power of an investment in this virtual partner that you have. I mean, can you imagine if Microsoft decides 10 years later, either you pay $1,000 a month or we kill your virtual partner? Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, everybody pays $1,000 a month. What, are you going to let your closest friend die? But so imagine if you're capable of investing in a god. You could fall in love with a friend that you create. You can give up your life for a friend that you create. And you know exactly what the Navi is saying. But you know that you invested in this and it's all your own self. Why do you care? Try telling that to the child that invests in the Tamaguchi. You understand perfectly well that what you're looking at is a virtual boy on the screen who has become now your friend, your closest friend, maybe your lover. You're going to let him die? But he doesn't exist.
Yes,
what do you mean? He doesn't exist. He's only what it is that I put into him. You'll die rather than let him die. Says, no, he wouldn't. It's not true. You know that 90% of people will not. And that's exactly what Menashe was pointing out to Rav Ashi. You think you're hot stuff. All you are is limited imaginations. The childishness of your own investments mean that you can only invest in humans. So you have sexual fantasies. You don't have God fantasies because you're too small to have God fantasies. Imagine if you could create those fantasies invested in a God. And somebody comes to you, but you idiot! This is you! Would make a difference? None whatsoever. Now you understand Avodah Zarah? You'd be running. It's the limits of your imagination that make you think that Avodah Zarah is not interesting. It's because you don't have any of those feelings. There's nothing to invest in. You're so low that your fantasies are entirely physical.